Welcome. My name is Divine. This is going to be a quick podcast, but it's something that I think is going to be very helpful for people that are studying for step one to step three. And in this podcast, this is episode 514, we're going to be talking about the framework for endocrine testing. This is just something I will truly, genuinely, in my heart, want you all to get down pat. If you understand this, it will just make so many things in endocrinology make a lot of sense to you, instead of you just blindly memorizing things. So there are two major rules I want to go over here, and I'll try to give some examples to really buttress these points. Now, we know that whenever we're dealing with an endocrine disorder, there's usually one of two problems we face. Either you have excess of a hormone, or you have a deficiency of a hormone. I'm going to say that again. You either have excess of a hormone or you have a deficiency of a hormone. So the thing is, typically in endocrinology is one of these disciplines that follows very set principles. Typically in endocrinology, when you want to diagnose something, you'll usually start with some kind of screening test. And then if that screening test is positive, you'll then proceed to a diagnostic test, a confirmatory test. So the rule here, the two rules here is that number one, whenever you're dealing with an endocrine disorder that involves a deficiency, whenever you're dealing with an endocrine disorder that involves a deficiency, your confirmatory test, your diagnostic test, usually is going to be some kind of stimulation test. That's rule number one. Rule number two is that if you're dealing with an endocrine disorder that involves some kind of excess of a hormone, your confirmatory test is going to be a suppression test. And again, this makes sense. This makes sense. If you have a deficiency of something, you want to figure out, why am I deficient in this thing? So you will try to force that gland to secrete that thing. That's a stimulation test. If you have excess of something, you want to try to see what's going on here. You'll try to force that gland to stop secreting excess amounts of that thing. So, for example, let's try our rule number one. Rule number one, we said, ooh, you have a deficiency of something. Well, one way you can test to see what's going on, your confirmatory test, your diagnostic test, can be a stimulation test. For example, think of a question about a person that has a history of Hashimoto's, because usually when they test an autoimmune disease, they love to give you a past medical history of another autoimmune disease. And they tell you in the Q-stem that this person has skin hyperpigmentation, and this person is hypotensive, and this person is hypoglycemic, and this person, you know, they also tell you this person has not been feeling well for a while. Well, if you see something like this, I would really hope you're saying, oh, Divine, it sounds like this person has Addison's disease. Right? Remember, Addison's disease is a primary adrenal insufficiency where you pretty much make autoantibodies and destroy your adrenal cortex. Remember, the adrenal medulla is generally not damaged in Addison's disease. But in Addison's disease, the major thing we care about is the cortisol being low. So, again, we have reduced secretion of something. So how can we confirm that diagnosis? Well, we'll confirm that diagnosis by doing a stimulation test. That stimulation test is called the cosyntropin stimulation test. Cosyntropin is an ACTH analog. A normal person like me and you, if I give you, well, a normal person, I guess, if you get cosyntropin, the thing that is supposed to happen is that your cortisol is supposed to rise, because it's an ACTH analog. But if a person's cortisol fails to rise, even with the administration of cosyntropin, then that's diagnostic, that's confirmatory of primary adrenal insufficiency. Simple as that. Now, another situation where you may see this stimulation, and some of you may be wondering, I guess, that Divine, why did this person have skin hyperpigmentation? Well, if you think about it, if you're not making cortisol, there's no negative feedback in the brain. So your ACTH is going to rise, but ACTH is not made in isolation. It's made together with MSH, melanocyte stimulating hormone, and from a compound called POMC, pro-opio melanocortin. So that's going to cause you, since you have high levels of MSH, that's going to cause skin hyperpigmentation. Now, what if they give you a question about a person that has precocious puberty or delayed puberty? Well, one of the ways that we figure out what may be going on with this person is to do something called a GnRH stimulation test. Many times for this test, they will give something called leuprolide. Leuprolide is a GnRH analog. Again, if you notice that, wow, I'm giving this person leuprolide and their gonadotropins rise, their FSH rises, their LH rises, and things like that, then that tells you that they have an intact HPG axis. That tells you that, okay, maybe this person has their HPG axis activated a little too early in life. That's why they have like precocious puberty, for example. But if you notice that you give leuprolide in doing the GnRH stimulation test and the person's FSH or LH does not rise, or you notice that, so maybe let me give you two sets of results. So what if the FSH and the LH does not rise? So you notice at the end of the test, let's say you're doing this in a woman, her FSH does not increase, her LH does not increase, her estrogen does not increase after doing the test, then that tells you that, oh, there must be some kind of pituitary failure that's causing the problem. There must be some kind of anterior pituitary failure that's causing the problem, because FSH and LH are released from the anterior pituitary. Obviously, if you're not releasing your gonadotropins, then your gonad, your ovaries will not be making estrogen from the granulosa cells. But what if you give leuprolide and you notice that the FSH and the LH increase, but the estrogen does not increase? Then that tells you that the person likely has some kind of primary gonadal failure. Like, for example, in Turner syndrome, the gonad pretty much does not work. You have straight ovaries. So even if, okay, your anterior pituitary is responding normally, you're making FSH, you're making LH, but the gonad itself cannot respond to those increased amounts of FSH and LH. So in that case, that person will probably have some sort of delayed puberty. So again, that's important to understand. I think I've given enough examples there. Now, if you have excess of a hormone, again, that's rule number two, your diagnostic test, your confirmatory test is going to involve some kind of suppression. If you're making too much of something, it would make sense to try to see, can I shut this thing down? Like, for example, they give you a question about a person that has tried multiple antihypertensives, and this person's blood pressure is not being well controlled, and they have metabolic alkalosis, they have hypokalemia. That's probably a question about Kahn syndrome or primary hyperaldosteronism. So how do we handle this? How do we confirm? How do we diagnose this? Well, there's this thing called the salt suppression test. Some people call it a saline infusion test. But basically, you give a person a salt load and you try to see, does the aldosterone suppress? Because normally, if I give you a ton of salt or I give you a ton of fluid, like normal saline, your body will be like, your blood volume is going to rise. If your blood volume rises, well, your blood pressure is going to rise as well. So if I give you those things, your blood volume rises, your blood pressure rises, your body's going to be like, wow, my blood pressure is a little too high. So let me go ahead and turn down the renin-angiotensin aldosterone system. So your aldosterone is supposed to suppress. But if you notice that, man, a person, I give them salt, like normal saline, like a salt load, and their aldosterone fails to suppress, that's confirmatory of Kahn syndrome. That's confirmatory of primary hyperaldosteronism. Or what if they give you a question about a person that is having increased spacing between his teeth, and they tell you that he has generalized visceromegaly, his hats don't fit very well anymore, his face looks very different across pictures from years past, then that tells you this person probably has some kind of acromegaly, so growth hormone excess. Again, you're making too much growth hormone. So again, how do you confirm? Because yes, you're going to measure the IGF-1 levels to start, but how do you confirm the diagnosis of acromegaly? Well, you're going to do an oral glucose suppression test. Sometimes they call it an oral glucose tolerance test. But basically, in a normal individual, when you get a glucose load, because remember, one of the jobs of growth hormone is that it raises your blood glucose levels. It's a diabetogenic hormone. So Once the way a normal person works is growth hormone will raise their blood glucose levels, and then as those blood glucose levels rise, that will then suppress the growth hormone production. So in a normal person, the administration of glucose, a glucose load, should suppress your growth hormone production. But in a person that has acromegaly, that's in an adult, or gigantism, that's in a child, basically their growth hormone will fail to suppress. Their growth hormone will fail to suppress with the administration of a glucose load. That's confirmatory. That's diagnostic of gigantism or acromegaly. Now, the final one I'll talk about, right? If you're thinking about a person that has Cushing's syndrome, remember Cushing's syndrome, one of the ways that's a cortisol excess. One of the ways we can confirm or diagnose your Cushing's syndrome is to do these dexamethasone suppression tests. Like, for example, the high dose dexamethasone suppression test. If you give a person high dose dexamethasone, measure their cortisol the next day, and you notice that, wow, this person's cortisol has suppressed, that tells you they have Cushing's disease. It tells you that they have a pituitary adenoma that's making a ton of ACTH. In fact, I will mention a caveat here. This is probably the only situation for USMLE purposes where a suppression test could be a screening test, and that's the low dose dexamethasone suppression test. That's one of the ways we screen for Cushing's syndrome. Remember, if you want to screen for Cushing's syndrome, you can check a person's 24-hour urinary cortisol, or you can check their late night salivary cortisol, or you can do a low dose dexamethasone suppression test. In Cushing's syndrome, if you give that low dose dexamethasone, you'll notice that the next morning the cortisol did not suppress. That pretty much applies to every case of Cushing's syndrome. I'm going to say that again. Failure of cortisol to suppress with the administration of low-dose dexamethasone is a good screener for pretty much every cause of Cushing's syndrome. But the high-dose dexamethasone suppression test is going to be a confirmatory test. It's going to be a diagnostic test where you try to tease out the major causes of ACTH-dependent Cushing's syndrome. I've made podcasts on this stuff that you can easily check out. If your cortisol suppresses, that tells you that, okay, this person has Cushing's disease. They have a pituitary adenoma that's secreting a ton of ACTH. But if the cortisol does not suppress, obviously, you're going to be getting that chest CT to look for the small cell lung cancer. So again, I think hopefully you finally get this point. This is one of those things that I wish that more instructors will go over as like a basic concept before you even start learning endocrinology. When you have this foundation in mind, it's going to make things a lot easier when you're learning a lot of these pathways. But again, to summarize, if you have an endocrine disorder where you have a deficiency of a hormone, the confirmatory test, the diagnostic test, is going to be a stimulatory test. You're trying to see if you can stimulate excess production, stimulate production of that hormone. We gave the example of the cosentropin stimulation test and for Addison's disease, you know, primary adrenal insufficiency, and the GnRH stimulation test with loperamide for precocious or delayed puberty. And then rule number two was that if you have excess of a hormone, then the way you're going to confirm, the way you're going to diagnose that disease is by trying to do some kind of suppression test. We talked about the salt suppression test or the saline infusion test for Kahn syndrome. We talked about the oral glucose tolerance or suppression test that we use for gigantism or acromegaly. And then we talked about the dexamethasone suppression test that we use for Cushing's syndrome. So thank you for listening to me today. I have review courses for all the USMLE exams. The one that's coming up pretty soon is from March 1st. I have a step one review. It's for people taking step one or complex one. It's a 25-hour class. Or people that are taking step two or step three or complex two or three with bad foundations. I also offer courses for step two, step three. I have a test taking course, a biostats class, a social sciences, ethics, and QI class. I've made a podcast on those. You can listen to that. If you're interested, shoot me an email. They're over Zoom. I can give you some more information through the website. The courses are not lectures. They're pretty much all scenario based because that's more realistic to your exams. I also offer one-on-one tutoring for all the USMLEs. And preclinical exams, third year shelf exams. I help with mock interviews and ERAS applications. And I have these podcasts on Apple, Google, and Spotify. And I have another website called DivineInterventionLifeLessons.com, where every week I post two podcasts. And from a biblical perspective, I try to address a life lesson. There's actually an Apple podcast associated with that, Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. Okay, and I also have a YouTube channel, as I've said, where I post the videos that I make for this website. So thank you for listening to me today. I'll see you next time. Have a wonderful rest of your day. God bless you. Bye for now. Thank you.